I want to again ask for your prayers. I have a message that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I want to try to share with you today, and I know that I can't do anything without the Lord, so I need His help and I need your prayers. And I'd like to call your attention to a scripture reading found in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read the first 10 verses of this for a scripture reading today. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Paul said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That, again, that's the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. And the title of my message today will be, "Lest We Should Ever Forget." And I want you to notice this today, that in this second chapter of Ephesians, in these verses that I have read before you this morning, where the main thought that Paul was speaking about there was that salvation is of grace. It's not of our own works. It's not of our own doing. But the apostle did not write this. If we look at this in its strict context, this was not something that the apostle Paul had written to a group of lost sinners, telling them that they were lost and that they needed salvation, and that the only way that they could be saved was through God's grace. And certainly that's true and that's important, and we may get to that here in a little while. But what we are really looking at here is that the apostle Paul had written this to the church at Ephesus. He had written this to people that were already saved, and he was giving them a reminder that they had been saved by God's grace. He was reminding those that had already been saved that they did not obtain this by their own merit, that it was wholly of God's grace that they had been saved. He took them back, if you will, in the first couple of verses that we read. That chapter opens by Paul saying, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive. He's talking to people that have already experienced being brought from death unto life and having everlasting life. And he takes them back to their past. He takes them back to the time when they were without the Lord, when they were not saved. He said that you were dead in trespasses and in sins. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said in the third verse that we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, and that we fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and that we used to be, that we were children of wrath, even as others. Now, I want us to think about why the Apostle Paul felt it necessary to write such a thing to those who had been redeemed, to those who had been saved, to write an epistle to them to remind them of what they had been in the past before the Lord did his work on their hearts. And, you know, we have another example of that. I believe another good example that's found in the third chapter of 2 Peter. We find there in that chapter that the Apostle Peter wrote extensively concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the day that the Lord comes again. But we find, if we read in that chapter, we find the same thing, that it wasn't a group of lost individuals that Peter wrote that epistle to. He wrote that to save people, and he tells us in that he wrote it for the purpose of stirring up their minds, stirring up their pure minds by way of remembrance. In other words, reminding them of the fact that the Lord is coming back one day. And he wasn't addressing a group of lost individuals and saying, you're lost and you need to get saved because the Lord is coming back one day. And certainly, again, that's true. And that's very important. But he was speaking to people who were saved and reminding them of what was coming one day. And we go on. You'll find in that chapter that as after the Apostle Peter writes about the Lord's return and how that the world was going to pass away with a great noise and the elements would melt with a fervent heat, then he addresses those who are saved and he said, seeing that all these things shall come to pass, what manner of persons ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And so there are things that we certainly do not need to forget. And we need to, I believe that we need to remain mindful of where we came from and what we were without God. And I believe that when we do that, when we reflect upon that, then not only does it help us to have humility, but I believe that it keeps us closer to the Lord, and it keeps us from being lifted up with pride. Now, I want to preach the truth today. I want to just preach the truth according to God's word, and I'm going to say this today to all of us that are here today that are saved. And as I've expressed many times, I'm thankful for the salvation of my soul more than anything else that God has ever done for me. That's the greatest blessing that I ever heard, but I ever have. But I'm telling you that none of us are nothing without the Lord. And, you know, had it not been for him, and I want to share, I suppose, here for a moment, in my own experience, but I believe that this is true for all of us. You know, and I want to say to those of you here that are lost today, as we try to reach out to you with the preaching of the cross, as we try to reach out to you with the gospel message, we understand the condition that you're in. We understand what it is to be lost and to be separated from God, because we were all there. And you need to understand, even as I stand before you from week to week and stand up here and preach the gospel, and as the children of God, as even as you've seen today, stand up and testify of the things that God has done for them, you need to understand that none of us are self-made people. We're not. You know, what we have in our hearts did not come about by self-reform. It did not, it was not produced by self-righteousness. It was not produced by us deciding that we were going to become better. It wasn't produced in us by anything that we did for ourselves. And you know, the same holds true for you today. A lost friend, you've got a problem. You've got a big problem, and that is that you're separated from God. And the only one that can do anything about that is the Lord.
Amen.
You can't do anything about it. You know, had it not been for God, you know, when I read this, I went back to the time in my life. I thought back in my mind to the time in my life when I was lost. I had a rebellious heart. I had a rebellious spirit. I had a bad attitude towards God. That's what we all have in our lost condition. And you can listen to the testimonies of people. And let me say this. Even if you are someone that was saved at a very young age, you know, if you were saved when you were 9 or 10 years old, and you never really had even reached a point in your life where you begin to go out and involve yourself in sinful actions and sinful activities, the fact remains that you were still a sinner, weren't you? That's why we see sometimes children that are of that age, that are 9 and 10 years old, that's why we see them from time to time broken down and weeping before the Lord, because God has caused them to realize that they're lost. They're sinners. Brother Dallas said it in Sunday school this morning, I believe, that we're born that way. We're born sinners. We come into the world with a sinful nature. And though it's true that God does give to us a time in innocency, in infancy, there is a period of time where people are not yet held accountable before Him. But the very moment that God makes us to know that God calls us to account for our sins, we're lost, and we're just as lost as the most vile acting sinner in the world. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I never would have come to Him on my own. I don't think anybody would. The Bible teaches us that this is the condemnation, that life is come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil, and they don't come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. And so we in our nature, we love sin. We love the darkness. We love it more than we do the light. And if it were not for the Lord drawing us and dealing with us and bringing us to Him, and if it were not for the goodness of God leading us to repentance, we would never on our own turn away from our own nature. The question was asked in the Old Testament, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? And the truth is, no, they cannot. And we cannot change our nature either. It takes a supernatural power to do that. It takes a power that only God possesses to do that. And had it not been for the drawing power of God bringing us to Him, and leading us to him because of his goodness and his love towards us, we wouldn't come, would we? We wouldn't come because we love the darkness rather than the light. Listen, for God's people, if we ever begin to get too big for our riches, if we ever become self-exalted, if we ever begin to feel self-righteous, if we ever begin to exalt ourselves above anybody else, all you have to do is read the second chapter of Ephesians. All you have to do is read and look back and say, you know what? Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory. Now that word means boast. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now the Apostle Paul, in his life prior to his conversion, he lived the life of a Pharisee. And the Pharisees, they were a group that they were known to boast in their own righteousness. They believed that their own works, that their own deeds would justify them before the Lord. But when Paul got a dose of true salvation, he realized that he didn't have anything to boast about. And so he said, God forbid my boasting unless I boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the only thing as I stand before you today, the only thing that I have to boast in at all is what the Lord did for me. I won't glory in myself today. Let me tell you something. When God called me to preach, I've said this before, and I'll be honest with you again. When the Lord called me to preach, I didn't want to. I didn't want to do it. And you know what? Most of my brethren that I've heard that have been called have testified of the same thing. We didn't even really want to do it. We didn't want to do what God was having us to do. Many of us made excuses and tried to find a way to get out of it. And had it not been God's calling upon my life, as the Apostle Paul said, that even it was an act of God's grace that put him into the ministry. And had it not been for that, I wouldn't be standing before you preaching this sermon today. I'm here because God called me into this. I would not have chosen it myself. And that's no reflection in any way upon the ministry, but I didn't pick the job. God drafted me. God called me. He saved me and he called me, and I don't have anything at all to boast of except what he did for me. And we don't have anything to boast of except what he did for all of us. Amen. When he gave his life so unselfishly at the cross of Calvary and made a way for us to be saved. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. And you know, listen, pride can be a hard battle to fight, can it not? You know, it's difficult sometimes to fight the temptation to take pride in ourselves. But listen, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, the Apostle Paul there was talking about himself and others as ministers. And he said that we ought not to think of ourselves as sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Amen. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done. Let me tell you something. My dear lost friends here today, I remember being in your condition. I remember being lost. I'll tell you what, when the Lord Jesus found me, when Jesus spoke peace to my soul, I was at the lowest point that I've ever been. I had become a beggar before him. I had been brought to the realization that there was nothing good about me at all, that I had absolutely nothing to offer the Lord. I had nothing to give to him to justify myself before him. I came before him as a broken beggar, realizing that I had nothing. Amen. And that if there was any hope for me at all, that it was going to be in the Lord and what he was able to do. And listen, and I want to assure you of this today. I know that some of you have been seeking the Lord for a while and haven't found him. But let me tell you this, keep seeking after him until you do. Because the moment that I was able to turn it all over to the Lord and trust in him and not myself, he saved me. He saved me. And I'll tell you what, now, you know, people that have done things for themselves and believe they're justified before God, I don't know how they feel, but I'll tell you what, I believe every child of God, I believe that everyone that's ever truly been born again by the Spirit of God realizes that was something that we didn't do for ourselves. That was something that the Lord did for us. I want to share with you, I like the words of this song. I've heard Brother Strode sing this song a few times, and I believe the lyrics in it are very true. I'm not sure what the title is of the song. Maybe it's Remind Me, but it's in this song it says, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, O Lord. That's what Paul did here in this epistle. He wrote to them and he said, you were lost. You were separated from God. You were without hope. You had no hope in yourself. All you were doing was following your own nature, the nature of sin. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We all, he said, had our conversation, had our lifestyle in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, even as those who still are, that's what we were. And, you know, when I came When I came before the Lord, I had sinned to my account. And you know what? You can't go to heaven. You can't go to heaven with sin to your account.
Right.
I had sinned to my account. And when I came to the Lord to get rid of that sin, I had no right. I had no right at all to expect him to take it away. But Paul said he's rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. And because of his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us together with Christ. Saved us. For, you know, God forgave me. And now I'm free. And now I'm no longer under the bondage of that. And you can have the same thing. You can have the same thing. And, you know, we're all of us that are saved, when we walk God's golden streets one day for eternity, we'll always know that we're not there because we were good. We're there because the Lord was good. The Lord was good to us. And our sufficiency is not of us. We're not self-sufficient. We're not self-made. We're blood-bought, aren't we? Jesus washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so we can, you know, we understand. Lost friend, what you're feeling, and we can testify to you that the same one that redeemed us can redeem you. The same one that saved us, he can save you. And I'd like for us to have a song, if we could, that there's another song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I give God all the honor and all the glory for anything that's good about me. Anything. It all belongs to him. While we stand and sing.
Number 93. Lord, I come once again to your presence to pray. In your will, I'm so anxious to be. Lest I fail to remember, please remind me every day of what happened at Calvary. Let me see that old rugged cross and the cruel crown of thorns you wore for me. If I walk in shades of night, please restore my blinded sight for another look at Calvary. If I fail in the task that you give me, O Lord, if my eyes grow too weary to see, take me back to the time when I first saw the light of what happened at Calvary. Let me see that old rugged cross and the cruel crown of thorns you wore for me. If I walk in shades of night, please restore my blinded sight for another look at Calvary.